yeah. Summertime edition of the Montreal Bias. Zach Vanoss, Sean O'Neill. I don't know. It's not like the most perfect summer day here for our summertime edition of the Montreal Bias, but it's summery enough. How's Ottawa?
It's kind of rainy and gray and overcast, if I'm being perfectly honest, but...
Well, what if you were to lie? What would you say?
It's gorgeous out.
There you go.
But no, it's good. We're, what, 4 days away from Canada Day, so getting into the swing of it, so...
What does our nation's capital have planned for its one day of the year?
A little bit of Bono, a little bit of The Edge.
Now, will that be in Ottawa, or is that 5 to 15 miles outside of the city? No one will show up, but the excuse will be, no, we love you too, but, you know, it's pretty far.
That's fair. My understanding is it's going to be right downtown, right at the Peace Tower.
Your opinion on U2?
They've become unfairly maligned.
Unfairly maligned? Why, no, fairly maligned. Fairly maligned.
Maybe somewhat fairly maligned, but people lose track of the fact that, I don't know, they had some really good albums.
Here's what I'll say.
I'll say a bad one, but like their 4 or 5 best albums are really damn good.
Okay, here's what I'll say. Their good work has been maligned by all the garbage they have put forth in the past 20 years.
I wouldn't say 20 years. I'd say their last two albums have been a bit underwhelming. But
20 years only takes us back to like 1999. They've done nothing of interest for me since like the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, I liked All That You Can't Leave Behind. And
that's why you're wrong.
Atomic Bomb. What's that?
That's why you're wrong. So there you go. There's our opinion on U2. That ought to do it. You good for the summer?
Yeah, pretty much.
We got Dry. Who cares? There was Bolia's gone. Who cares? Galchenyuk's not gone yet. Who cares? Radulov might not be back. Markov wants a raise for some reason. So, yeah, that's, you know, talk amongst yourselves. We've talked about you two. We'll see you later. Oh, and we've got our draft, which we'll also ignore. The big draft. The draft everyone's been talking about.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, so we'll explain what that is. We'll get into that other stuff, and then we'll do our draft. So, we've been talking about this for a while, and this seemed like the right opportunity, especially since a few of the individuals on our draft board are actually available.
That's a good point, yeah.
So it seemed like the right time to be doing it. It's our Montreal Canadiens media draft. And when I say that, I should probably put in brackets English media and also none of the people who are, you know, there's
not entirely.
No, but I think like everybody who's French, all the French media on our draft board, in some way at least come into the English market.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, yeah, I think that's the best way to describe it. Here, we'll give you the draft board right now, but we'll get to our actual drafting later. And essentially, the talking point here was, or the thinking point on it was, if you could only follow one individual for your Habs information, who would it be? And then kind of ranked it down, you know, then ran it as a normal draft between the two of us. Very exciting stuff.
Very thrilling.
I mean, this is probably going to get Habs fans through the next 3 months of minimal news, just discussing our list.
So probably put us at the top of everyone else's draft.
Well, yeah, that's another fair point. We are not on this list. Nobody at Rabbit Habs is. We felt that was unfair. And also, actually, nobody from the blogging, social media world. There is, like, good Twitter follows, absolutely. There's some great ones. But this was really about, you know, the mainstream media.
Oh, the failing New York Times?
Then there's somehow no writer from the New York Times covering the Habs made our list. But
sad.
It is sad. All right, so we're going to be doing that later, but here it is. We're going to draft 20 media members. We have a list of 22 just to be dicks, mostly. Also, mostly because I feel like this is a full list, though I'm sure there's someone blatantly obvious we left off, maybe even a couple people.
Yeah.
Our scouting, not great. Let's say that. We don't necessarily have the best scouts. And now we're GMs armed with what we're armed with. So here it is. In alphabetical order, Amanda Stein, Andrew Berkshire, Arpin Basu, Brian Wild, Chris Nyland, Connor McKenna, Dave Stubbs, Eric Engels, feel like we should have a montage for each of them, you know, of their best takes. François Gagnon, Heather Engel, J.F. Chaumont, Jack Todd, John Liu, Marc Dumont, Martin Lemay, Mitch Melnick, Pat Hickey, Benoît Levoix, Robin Flynn, Sean Coleman, Stu Cowan, and Tony Marinaro.
There it is.
So that's coming up. But do not skip to that as much as you'd like, because we what do you want to start with? Jonathan Drouin? How about this?
Yeah, I think that's the logical starting point.
We've weighed in on the forum, but let's chat about it. This is bigger news than I think I understood when I first heard it.
Listen, you got to give Marc Bergevin credit for one thing, and I'm not a fan. If this is your first time listening to the show, I'm not a Bergevin fan. But listen, he's not afraid to swing for the fences. As much as we kind of make fun of him for always going after fourth liners and number seven defensemen, like, he has made some big trades too. One of them was a disaster, but I don't think this one will be.
Hold on.
It could be.
All right, I'm going to quickly pump the brakes. This is a bit of a parentheses bit, bringing back our most popular bit.
Oh.
76-8. Who's winning the PK for Weber trade? We thought we retired it. It looked like after a season of Habs poundage, Shea Weber running away with it. PK Subban's run deep into the Stanley Cup playoffs, I think is the only way to describe it accurately. Might have given him the advantage, but I feel we've got to reopen the case because the voting for the Norris Trophy, the ultimate prize, the ultimate true measure of defensive greatness, or defenseman greatness, I should say, has come out. PK Subban did not receive a single vote. Shea Weber was in the top five, Sean.
Yeah, Shea Weber's been in the top five a lot over the course of his career, never brought it home. Some defenseman I can mention.
That's because he doesn't make it about himself. He's fine to be in the top five.
I was a little surprised PK didn't get a vote, but I mean, he did miss, 15 games?
Yeah, he missed
games?
A lot of the season.
Yeah, that's your answer right there, right?
Yeah, that's right. So Shea Weber still ahead. Good talk. back to your original point and the bit we were talking about. Yeah, this is a second big swing, which it's fun. At the very least, it's interesting. It's a lot better than back in the day when not only were the Habs not great, but they also never did anything interesting. At the very least, if you're following sports for entertainment, which, you know, you should be, you shouldn't be too much more invested than that. It's not healthy, like if you had a podcast about it. In that case, you know, it's go for it, I guess. You know, it's like being a fan of the New York Rangers.
Yeah, that's not a bad comparison. I like the trade, and there's a chance. You know, people are very high on Sergachev. Importantly, people outside of the Montreal sphere, because I think we've all come to realize that, you know, Montreal really likes to pump the tires on their prospects, and sometimes it's undeserved. But
okay, but before you come on, bring some facts here. Where are the receipts? Name two defensemen who we've claimed are highly touted and have fizzled. Name two.
What's that?
I said name two defensemen that I can't think of anybody who has been highly touted and then suddenly fizzled away their talent.
Well, I think we traded one for John Scott, and we traded the other for a third round pick.
So. Not the best upside on those.
No.
God damn. Oof. Yeah, agreed. So maybe Sergachev does end up great in Tampa, but that doesn't mean we would have done a great job with him.
Yeah. Yeah. The more I look at it, the more, and I think you've mentioned this as well, like, you know, Montreal is a better than average run franchise, I think, but they're not great at developing talent. I think that's becoming pretty clear now.
I agree 100%. The people who will argue that point say, well, they've actually been pretty successful over the last decade or so. So they're drafting low. So odds are they're not going to make, you know, refine this talent. More often than not, they don't work out. I mean, you look at, and there's a pretty good example. You look at, I believe, four guys who are first round draft picks in like last 3 years went unqualified, are just available free agents because their teams don't want them. So there's something to be said there, I think, but I still feel the Montreal Canadiens have come up very short in turning anybody into anything. I mean, the one player who it seems has been well-developed is Arturi Lehkonen, and guess what? He didn't develop in our system. He came from Europe.
Yeah, and which sort of leads me to my other point about the Drouin trade, which is, listen, I like this trade. I think the team needed some offense. I think Drouin has the potential to be very good, and I kind of think he's going to reach that potential in Montreal. But I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop, because if you make this big trade for Drouin and then turn around and trade Galchenyuk, then okay, where are you?
Yeah. No, you brought up this point, I think, when we were texting a little while back, basically in the wake of the Drouin trade and when it looked like, and it still could happen that Galchenyuk gets traded, but Elliot Friedman has poured a little bit of cold water on that with a piece mostly on Joe Thornton yesterday, and we'll get to Thornton in a minute. But basically, you were saying, and I think this is a good point, like, you ask what percentage chance did I think that in a few years we will be cursing the name of Marc Bergevin as one of the great ruiners of a potential run that he turned into an absolute disaster.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, listen, you've got Carey Price in your prime. I kind of get the feeling that, you know, the team's not that far away and you push all your chips in the middle, but there's a chance 3 years down the line that this team's picking number three overall and PK has a cup and another Norris, and Sergachev's one of the top 10 defensemen in the league. And Galchenyuk's on another team scoring 35 a season. Like, there's a pretty decent chance that that scenario bears fruit.
The thing is, Carey's not going anywhere. So this team's going to continue to be, like, 8th, 7th, 6th at worst, you know?
Yeah.
So it might be a little further down the road where we're further removed from it and able to recognize, you know, as the careers of PK Subban and Alex Galchenyuk and maybe Thune is a disaster or whatever, as that all unfolds, it's more looking from a little bit further down the road to be like, holy shit, Marc Bergevin was actually a disaster. But as long as he's got Carey Price, it'll be hard to prove that he's a complete nightmare.
Yeah, the Habs are kind of a little bit in the same spot that the Capitals are in. And obviously, they haven't had the success that the Caps are in, but, you know, Washington's, you know, they've got this great player in Ovechkin, and you're not going to trade him because it would be insane to. But it seems like they have a ceiling, and you don't really know what the next move is.
Yeah.
And I feel, you know, I guess you can't really say that about Montreal because they just made a really big move, but, you know, I feel like, you know, they have Price. Obviously, you're going to keep Price because if you get rid of him, you're spending the next 20 years looking for him.
Yeah.
But you've got this great all-time future Hall of Famer talent, but you haven't really surrounded him with enough pieces to make it work. And it just seems like this team is, you know, forever resigned to bowing out in the first round or the second round.
And it could turn around, you know, next year. But I do see a situation where the Canadiens continue to kind of do what the Caps are doing, which is what you say, make the playoffs, do a couple rounds, and then out. And you wonder what needs to be done. The obvious thing is to point to a center, and, you know, I imagine most of our listeners have seen the lists out there. A lot of people have been making them and circulating them specifically within the Habs online community, basically showing who has won the last stretch of Stanley Cups, like going back 10, 15 years. Each team had at least one elite center, if not two. So we can say, oh, what do you need to do to make this team, to take this team over the top? Well, maybe the answer is exactly what we're all screaming about. And until that day, which, you know, who knows if it'll ever come. This feels like the Montreal Canadiens are undersized scream of old, which isn't really the case anymore, and you don't hear that much anymore, at least by not anyone who's actually paying attention. But, man, the center thing has just become year in, year out this thing, and you're like, why don't you just, like, imagine you were running any other company and everybody, and it was obvious really what the one flaw was and you just refused to fix it. And well, because it's hard. Okay. But everything else is supposed to be easier than this. Make that move and then work from there. I just at this point think there's almost no such thing. Well, being hyperbolic here, but it's really becoming more and more difficult to say that you've overpaid for a top center or overpaid for an elite defenseman. Those seem to be the most difficult things to acquire in the league. Everything else seems to be, you can get top forwards as long as they're wingers, you know, 2 through 6 defense. I think you know, that can be found. There's markets for it. You can take advantage of GMs, but elite centers and elite defensemen, those are the two hard things to get. And without him, you're probably fucked when it comes to trying to win a Stanley Cup. So the Canadiens have to figure out, you know, you've supposedly have an elite center in Shea Weber. So go figure out where you're going to get that center. And I'm saying pay a lot. I threw this one your way the other day in a who says no scenario. And I said, look, let's give Alex Galchenyuk and our next two first-round picks in exchange for Tavares in Long Island, or in Brooklyn now, where it seems like they might be in a take it apart, especially since they traded for several draft picks the other day. I don't know that anybody would do that simply because everyone's nervous of big trades. But, you know, if you could talk anyone into it, it's probably Gar Snow and Marc Bergevin.
That's true. It seems like the Tavares chatter's died down. Like, it seems like they're going to hang on to him and give it one more push.
Well,
right?
That's because no one's offered them Galchenyuk and two more firsts. But, like, that's a huge price, but I don't think that's overpaying necessarily for a talent like Tavares, because you can't win without him, I think. I think it's easier to win without an elite goalie than it is without an elite center.
Yeah,
maybe trade Carey Price for an elite center. Who wants him?
Yeah.
I'm not, like, I mean it.
No, I know. I'm kind of with you. I mean, to your point, though, how often do elite centers change teams?
They don't.
Relatively rare, yeah. And you either, you know, sometimes you lock into it because a guy like, you know, a team sells too early on a guy like Joe Thornton or Ryan Johansson, but it's hard to get your hands on one. But yeah, until they do, this team has a pretty hard ceiling, I think. So either they find some way to get one of these guys, or maybe there's still a chance Galchenyuk turns into that guy, but I don't know.
So there is one opportunity apparently on the horizon, or potentially on the horizon this summer, but it's not young, but it is legendary, and it's Joe Thornton. And based on the piece that Elliot Friedman had, I believe it was on Monday, he said the Montreal Canadiens are at least in talking to Joe Thornton to find out what it would take. So do you have a ceiling on how much you'd pay? Well, obviously you have a ceiling, but would you have a real, like, I give Joe Thornton a contract that kind of ignores his age as long as it's not lengthy.
Yeah, the term would be the thing that would worry me. The cap hit, like, they'd have to make it work dollars and cents wise. Yeah. But even if you went as high as, I don't know, 1 year, you know, 1 year, $7 million, 2 years, $12 million, I wouldn't really have a whole big problem with that.
The thing is, I think with Thornton, he wants 3 years. And that's the only thing that will get him out of San Jose. If the Sharks won't give him three, and somebody else will.
Yeah.
Give him three if you're not going to get the cup in year three. You're screwed by that point anyway.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, you worry about that when you get there.
And I don't know if he's a number
maybe,
one.
Maybe he gets a skin infection. That was, come on, Zach. That's inappropriate.
yeah, I don't know if he's a number one center anymore, but he's at least a really good number two center. And, you know, he's still one of the best setup men in the game. You know, you put Radulov on Thornton's line.
He's still a top center in his ability to create things.
Yeah.
Like, he's definitely not Joe Thornton of 10 years ago, but he hasn't fallen off that much. He never scores, but his playmaking ability is still incredible. I mean, everyone watched the Sharks run all the way to their ultimate dream of being in the Stanley Cup final last season. Thornton was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so that's one old guy. Next old guy who apparently also wants more is our guy Andrei Markov. You can't give him a raise at 38, but I said this to you earlier. I'm okay with us walking back 2 years at what he's doing now. But he's still really good is the issue. And I've counted Markov out too many times. I've said this so many times on the podcast now. I've counted him out so many times that I refuse to do it again.
Which is fair, because you're right, he is still very good. But he does go through stretches where he looks like it's over, right?
Yeah, but as my buddy Gab has put it to us, and we've ran this theory out here before, it's all emotional with Markov. He's an emotional man.
I don't know if it's emotional so much as he's 38, and the bottom's going to fall out at some point. Remember Caberle?
Yeah, that did come swift.
Yeah, that's the fear, right?
That is the fear, absolutely.
2 years at $12 million and just, it's not a steady decline, just the bottom kind of falls out.
And, like, he hasn't had any issues with those knees, but they've been fake knees for, like, 10 years now. The first time I counted him dead.
Yeah.
Like that first injury, that first Markov injury came in the year that Robert Lang got hurt.
Yeah.
Remember that? No, you don't. It was forever ago. Half our listeners weren't born. Why are all these children listening? That's the disturbing part. So, yeah, I mean, I do it. You worry about it, but he's earned it. I kind of feel that way. And he's
I agree with that.
If you had if he'd had a decline last year, or if you know he wasn't a lifelong institution,
yeah,
then fine. You know, maybe have a bit of an argument. Maybe try and force it. He has no agent. He's coming into this, I think, asking for more. What's going to happen is he'll say, okay, same thing, 2 years. I think he's earned the handshake. Maybe that means I don't have what it takes to run an NHL team, but that's just who I couldn't do it. I think he's earned it at this point.
No, you're probably right. And the other thing is, like, all of a sudden, this decor is a little thin.
A little thin. A little thin,
you know,
on the team.
I mean, we were all happy to get rid of Emlyn and, you know, Bolio, it is what it is. But, you know, it went from a team that, you know, famously had, you know, 17 number six defensemen until you look at the roster now. And if you lose Markov, then you're getting real thin all of a sudden.
Markov's not going anywhere. They'll figure this out.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he went anywhere.
I mean, he got his Canadian citizenship. He's in his early 50s. You don't want to move in your early 50s. Okay.
And I mean, you know, so if you let, you know, Markov's asking too much, so what's the next step? You go and you overpay for Carl Alzner? Like, that's kind of two steps forward, three steps back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the thing. If Markov, you also, so you're kind of in a hole. Like, Markov has decent negotiating chips in that you need him.
Oh, yeah. He's got them bent him over a barrel a little bit.
Just as we suspected would happen. Good maneuvering, Marc Bergevin. A 38-year-old defenseman who's never been on another team has all the negotiating power.
Yeah,
Shea Weber will just have a good gentleman's conversation. He'll come to a firm handshake agreement. Markov will play for free, knowing that he's been rewarded in nothing but Shea Weber's respect. Which, by the way, you would think that circumvents or fails to circumvent the NHL's agreement with the players on what, you know, minimums and whatnot, but the NHL players themselves value Weber's respect so highly that it actually counts within that. It's not circumvention. Or it is circumvention. It's brilliant. Yeah. I think that was the first thing they negotiated for. I don't know. Reasonable authority. Radulov, staying or going?
I'm getting less and less confident that he's staying.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, he wants a lot of term, it sounds like.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to give him 4 years at seven a year.
18 goals.
Yeah.
He was fantastic. Look,
was fantastic. He was amazing. Aren't quite as dominant as you would have thought.
And it was like first half of the season, incredible. Playoffs, he wasn't the Radulov we saw in the regular season. Final quarter of the season, he wasn't quite. He was great the whole way. Like, I loved Alex Radulov. Anyone who listened to this or the recency bias understands that. But there, you know, it was only 1 year, so you don't have any emotional commitment to him outside of that. In the sense that, like, no, this is a guy we've brought up. He's one of ours. Let's keep him for 6 or 7 years. We think it's worth it. He's absolutely going to force the Canadians to pay a lot for him if he stays. And that is a question of, well, do we want to do that? I think between now and July 1, Bergevin needs to get a real good understanding of who is coming to this team, if it seems like anyone's coming to this team. If not, you have to keep him, because then you're completely screwed, both on the back end and thin as hell on the front end. Like, you're in real trouble if Radulov leaves and there's no clear individual coming in. So it's either get somebody in place or lock Radulov down, because he is kind of the top forward available now.
Yeah, again, he seems to be sort of in control here, but I don't think you can fault Bergevin for only giving Radulov a one-year deal. Like, giving him a multi-year deal straight out of coming out of the KHL with everything he'd been through would have been stupid, frankly. But he delivered on that deal, and now he's, you know, the top forward in a weak market. And if there's one thing Montreal can't afford to do, it's give up, you know, offensive talent and give up goal scoring. So I have a suspicion he's going to land in Montreal, but I also have a suspicion he's going to be for quite a bit of money. And listen, would it shock you in 2 years if Radulov's sort of the new whipping boy in Montreal?
No, but I wouldn't. It wouldn't shock me, but I definitely would not expect it, unless the deal is, you know, outrageous. But then again, you know, 18 goals. The narrative starts to change.
Yeah, if he's making $7 million a year and
potting 15,
kind of potting 20, 21.
Yeah, that's fair. That could happen.
He's kind of got the Kovalev thing, though, right? Where he's so much fun to watch that
we might just love him no matter what. And he could age well. Like, I'm not convinced he's a player who's going to age poorly. On the other hand, got divorced, I think. So, are we worried about that? Because if I just got divorced, you shouldn't give me a big contract, probably, for anything. I may be going through some things, I feel. Just considering the narrative there was, hey, don't worry about Radulov. He's married. He's got a kid now. That ought to help.
There.
Suddenly he's living, you know, living in the singles building with sleeping in a race car bed. I don't know.
Would you rather have Radulov or Kovalchuk?
It all depends on money and term, I think.
Yeah.
Radulov's fun, though, I gotta say. I love Radulov. I really do. He was my favorite player. He was the best part of last season.
That's fair. Kovalchuk we don't really know who he is anymore, I guess, but I mean, Kovalchuk in his prime was a transcendent talent.
That's true. And look, we do the one thing that last season's experiment of Radulov, if it turns out to be just that, proved is elite talent translates from the KHL to the NHL almost without, you know, a huge drop off of any kind. This is what you kind of would have expected from Radulov, the way he came over.
Yep. And I think the thing to remember about Kovalchuk is...
hell was that?
That was a banner ad that popped up when I'm trying to pull up the list of top free agents.
Pornhub.
Yes. you know, Kovalchuk has kind of a shaky reputation, I guess, in the public's eye because of the way that he left. But a lot of people have been banging this drum. Like, he was beloved in the locker room.
All right. I'll take it. Yeah. Well, I'd take either. I don't care. They're both good.
I mean, I take both. I think really what the team needs is both. Like, there's a lack of scoring talent.
I don't know how you fit that, though. Although, apparently, we've got nobody left on the blue line besides Andrei Markov's 9.8 a year or whatever he's about to get.
Way to fit both of those guys and Markov.
Yeah. Choose your Russian.
They need a bounce back season from Gallagher too, is what they need.
That's true, eh? That goes largely forgotten because he's so lovable.
But I also feel like people are kind of writing him off. Like, they're talking about the lack of scoring depth on the team and you know, Gallagher's getting mentioned as a third line, fourth line guy. But
that's a good point, yeah.
25 goal scorer up until last season.
That's also a valid point. All right. Anything else on the Habs front?
That about does it, doesn't it?
I think so.
Jesus, David Dernay is the fifth best center available? That's not promising.
There were many times he wasn't the fifth best center on the Habs, and that was like last year. Am I wrong?
Pretty slim pickings.
Am I wrong? No, you're not wrong, Zach.
No, you're
just
not.
An asshole. All right, you want to do the draft? Everybody's salivating for it.
Are they? Is that the word on the street?
It's the word on my street when I go out and talk to myself.
Dear Lord, this is going to be the most boring Canada Day in a long time. This is a bad free agent class.
Well, maybe people can listen to our draft. Maybe we'll recommend hold off until Canada Day so that you can listen to this draft to help you kill time and get the excitement.
I like that. I like it.
Wait, let's give it before we get into the draft proper. Who is – you're clearly looking at the list. How bad is it?
Well, okay, best defenseman available is Shattenkirk's a legit. He's a very good player, but when he's like the double.
You got that Rangers stink. Once the Rangers have acquired you and then aren't interested in you or are interested in you, it suggests you're probably past your sell-by date.
So for defensemen, we have Shattenkirk, Alzner, Michael Delzato is the third. I mean, according to Bleacher Report, at least, Michael Delzato is the third best defenseman available.
So I must be top five then. That's nice.
That's not great.
No.
Top wingers, Radulov, Justin Williams, Yermer Jagr, Radim Vrbata, Alex Henschke.
Wait, is Jagr a free agent?
Yeah, I thought he had inked, but I guess
not. What? Sound the alarm. It's back.
We're doing this?
The bit is back. Get him on board.
It's not even a bit. It's just a...
No, this, yeah, everything else is a bit.
For the past 15 years now.
It's true. My Weber love is certainly inflated for the sake of entertainment on this podcast. Various other things are strewn, but this is, that's, I'm sold on Jagr no matter how old he is, how bad he is. I just want that moment of 68 on the back of Habs jersey, and I don't care.
I know. It would be beautiful. I would love it.
We could finish. I don't care how bad we are if I'm watching Yags out there. Maine aflow. I'm so glad it's back. All right. Let's get the most out of this. We got like 4 days, 5 days with it, people.
Exactly. And then we don't get to do it again for another 3 years after he signs in Vegas.
He's going
to
sign in Vegas and be the captain. They should do that. He'll want to be there. It's a marquee name. You're going to suck. And he seems to want to play on a team that doesn't make the playoffs.
Yes, and there is something else that we're not mentioning, but...
I'll mention it. He's a gambling addict. And he enjoys a lady of the night, probably.
I'm not sure that's slander. I think that's...
No, the odds of him being able to bring a case against us in which he can prove that's not the case seems not great. Also, he wouldn't care.
I know. It's the best. He's the best. What a treasure.
Let's get him. How soon can I order my 68 jersey?
Right now. Let's do it right now.
It's available on the rabbithabs.com store now. That would bring a lawsuit faster, selling fake jerseys with Jagr on the back. Get them while they're hot and legal, or at least in that gray zone. All right. Now to the draft.
All right.
Do you want to go through the names once more?
No, I got it.
Describe each of what they bring. So, okay, I don't know. We've already did the draft. We should be honest. But so I want to know if you want to reveal it from the bottom up, or just kind of do it in the same way as if people were watching a real NHL draft or NBA draft if they wanted some character and individualism from their players. Those were back to back nights, and holy shit, was the NBA draft 400 times more entertaining.
I miss the NBA draft, but I believe it.
Oh, my God. And then you try and watch the NHL draft, and it's like, what the hell happened? The players don't say a thing. Nobody's got... Oh, it's the worst. Anyway, this is the NBA draft equivalent of local media NHL drafts. Let's just go from the top.
Yeah.
You, because of earlier in this podcast, the people heard it, your horse, PK Subban, wound up finishing second to my character-filled, gritty, just loves the slop, eats the slop horse of Shea Weber. You get to draft first in this draft. So everyone heard the board. A lot of the scuttlebutt on the street really is about who's going to not get taken, who wasn't on the board. But right now, the mic is yours. You're on the clock, Sean O'Neill.
Thanks, buddy. So just in terms of context, it's been a weird couple months for sports media, right? Mm-hmm. Which kind of got us thinking about this as well. And just like, what do you think the state is of Habs hockey coverage? Is it good? Is it just overrun by blowhards? Like,
looking at this list, basically what I'm seeing here is, it's not good at all, considering this is if not the most popular franchise in all of hockey, at least in Canada, in, sure, only the third biggest market in the country, but all the same. And especially when I compare it to Toronto's coverage, it's abysmal.
So, yeah, I mean, you live in Toronto. You feel like the coverage of the Leafs is better than the coverage of the Habs.
I mean, it's got its blowhard. It's got its idiots. But, you know, you can turn on one of the two Toronto stations at any point in the day and hear what I think is pretty decent professional coverage of the team, even if the people are kind of annoying. And maybe this isn't because – maybe this is because my heart's not in the Leafs. But I just feel like for the – at least through, you know, two-thirds of the day – it's at least tolerable conversation. Montreal's got one radio station in English. I understand that. Much, much smaller population. And you could probably, and I think the people who work at TSN 690 would agree with this, a lot of talent probably gets away because they just don't want to pay it, and so blame that on Bell. That's all fine and good. But that doesn't change the fact that Canadians' coverage is really bad.
Yeah, I think it's funny because, you know, it's a bilingual market, which, I mean, the only franchise in North America, at least, where that's the case, really. You know, a super passionate fan base, a pretty knowledgeable fan base, I would say. Listen, there's some, the top of this list is fantastic. There's some really, 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 really good people out there covering the Habs, and then it does kind of fall off, though. And I think what happens when you have a market that's so passionate and so rabid and so knowledgeable is that it does kind of lend itself to, you know, the blowhards can take the reins of the agenda pretty easily, which seems to happen in Montreal.
Although, you know, maybe you go to Boston, maybe you go to New York, and you hear the same thing. Maybe local coverage is just not great. Yeah. And yeah, Toronto gets all the best because they got the most money. It's a massive market, and it generally goes across Canada. So they're just going to have, you know, I don't know that everybody covering the Leafs wants to be necessarily covering the Leafs, but that's that's the gig, man.
Yeah, I mean, the national media is housed there, too, so you get you kind of get to double down on that.
Yeah, exactly. So let's do a little scuttlebutt as if, so you're back off the clock because your clock expired if you really had one.
I think I just lost my pick.
Shit, we did not plan for this. no, but we should, let's do a little preamble. Talk this year of this year's draft class was that there were two, at least, you know, amongst the two guys picking, two elite individuals, either who could be the right call overall, just depending on how you wanted to approach it. There's a good, strong, solid, maybe top 8 or 9, and then you know, you got some upcomers, you got some just raw talent, and then, you know, the fact that it's a minimal market, so we only came up with 22 people.
Yeah, the top is, the top is Taylor and Tyler all over again. The top of the list is really, really good.
It is. Taylor and Tyler all over again. So let's get to the top. Back on the clock.
One pick. My draft. I don't know. Do I have a name for my team?
You can give yourself one, I guess. Go ahead.
If I can only listen and read and follow one person who covers the Habs, local legend Mitch Melnick, who really, I don't think there's anyone else covering the Habs who does it better.
Yeah, fantastic first overall pick. As we said, this was a two horse race. That is a great pick, and I got to think the upside here is proven experience, a wealth of talent. Probably has had offers and potential to go to other markets throughout his career and hasn't because he lives and loves the city. Don't necessarily 100% of the time agree with him, but often do. At least he makes a reasoned argument when he, when he makes an argument that I don't necessarily agree with. I would say scouting, based on, I'm just looking at my notes here, my scouting report says the one knock they do put on him is he did vouch for Pierre Maguire. He kind of pushed the Pierre Maguire as the next Habs GM. Back when it was between Bergevin and Maguire. That's a bit of a knock, I got to say. Otherwise, though, pretty, pretty porcelain. Porcelain, is that what we say?
I'm not entirely sure what you're driving at. But
pristine.
Pristine, I think, is the word you're
performance.
Looking for.
No, porcelain, like a nice, clean, beautiful bowl.
No, he's fantastic. He's everything you would want in sort of your... your local sort of long-lasting talk radio talking head guy. He's really, really fantastic, and it makes me wish that the Expos were still around so he could be the main guy on baseball coverage as well, but I'll take it for the Habs.
Yeah, he does the Habs, but his love is the Expos. You can tell that.
Yeah.
Don't blame him.
Yeah, I know.
All right, number two, going to go ahead. As I said, everyone now knows who I'm taking. Brian Wild. Free agent Brian Wild. So Brian, if you're listening, we would have you. We make no money. We offer no money. Wrangler jeans. There's a back and forth. I got to say, there's a back and forth. They've liked a couple of our tweets. So there's potential there to be in the denim, as they say in the biz. But Wild, man, you're number two. And look, you got the number one pick. I got no argument against Mitch Melnick. But I might have taken Wild number one.
That's fair. It's two different skill sets, right?
Yeah, very much so.
Wild, I know Wild has, you know, he'll share his opinion, but he's really a reporter when it comes to it, and sort of smaller sound bites, whereas Melnick's sort of the guy who can just, you know, park in front of a microphone and he'll talk really, really well for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But Brian Wild is fantastic, and the fact that I'm sure he'll land on his feet within, you know, the very, very, very short future, because he's too talented not to, but the fact that he doesn't have a job covering the Habs and some of these other clowns do is mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's fucked up. That's what it is. Somebody will grab him, obviously. It's, my God, Brian Wild needs to be employed covering the Montreal Canadiens. Like, and here's the thing. We talked about, like, this list being, you know, if you could only follow one person, if you can only get your Habs info from one, who would it be? I'm also good with just quitting right now. Like, if we get Melnick and Wild, you probably feel as good about things, are as nearly as well-informed as you are right now with both of their Twitter accounts and the radio show. And, you know, well, we'll find out where Brian Wild lands, but he's obviously going to land somewhere with his hits. You're probably good. You probably don't need any more than that.
I know. I mean, that's just the state of the industry right now, right? It's very, it's oversaturated, and there's never been, it's weird. There's never been more good content, but there's never been, you know, more people losing their jobs, seemingly. It's a very weird state of flux that they're in right now.
And, like, the people who are coming up, I'm not saying they don't contribute anything, but it's ridiculous, really, in a way, how many people I follow on Twitter and everything else and try to get all this information from, when I'd probably be in almost an identical spot with those two guys.
I know. It is kind of bizarre. Like, I don't need to be following 73 different Habs reporters, but yet here I am.
All right, you're on the clock again.
I am on the clock with the number three pick overall, also known as the Jonathan Drouin spot.
Ooh, nice. Not the Galchenyuk spot?
National figure. You know him from TSN. The one, the only John Luke.
Nice pick. A real pro. Comes from a very reputable organization.
Yep.
Yeah, and so you know he's there. You know he's getting it done. Good bow tie occasionally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good. Look, higher than I would have taken him. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can call it a reach. That's fine. I'm happy with it.
It's a reach. John Liu's a reach, all right? But I respect him. He was definitely high on my board, and I would not have been disappointed if I got him. All right, number four. There's the sound that I'm going to number four here. I'm going to go ahead and take Eric Engels on this one. Up and coming. I know he's been on the beat for a while, but I feel like he really got his feet planted and got his name in there and out there last season, last couple seasons with Sportsnet carrying more of the Habs.
Yeah, and I mean, we could talk all day about the Rogers deal and whether that's working out or not, but I think they're starting to find their footing a little bit. Yeah. And I think as that happens, there's going to be more and more people who sort of make their name that way. And I think there are some talented people in that Rogers team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really enjoy what Engels writes online. I think he does a good job in between periods when he's talking. So I see him as he's been the biggest riser. Like, I don't think Eric Engels would have been picked number four even if we'd done this in last offseason.
Yeah.
He's put himself in a good spot, this young man. Also, kind of makes me feel like maybe, and I don't know how we feel about this, but did we leave Kyle Bukowskis, sorry, bud, off the list? Or has he made it there yet?
I like him.
So, I don't know, because also he might not be covering them this season, because it seems like Sportsnet has lost that Habs coverage to TSN. I don't quite know the details there. So maybe we lost Kyle.
Kyle quit the band.
All right. You're in the five spot.
Nothing like a timely, tenacious D reference.
Everyone loves it.
with the number five spot, and I got to say, I was pretty happy getting this guy where I did, because he could have gone higher. Number five, Arpon Basu.
All right, talk this one through for me.
Why, you disagree?
No, I just I've been the one talking after every one, so I was trying to naturally hand it over to you.
Fair enough. I mean, I never really know what to say of these picks besides I like their work, and I like his work. I think he's a good follow on Twitter. I think he's funny. I think he's fair. I think he, you know, seems to get good stuff from the players. He seems to know what he's doing. He seems like, you know, there's some kernels of insight if you follow him, that, you know, he's not just copying and pasting the lines from the press gallery like some guys are. He'll find the stuff that's out there and give it a little bit of a tweak and let you know something you probably didn't know before. So
the truth is, this draft just happened in the wrong year for Arpon. Now that he's overrunning LNash.com, he doesn't cover the Habs the way he did back 2-3 years ago. There was a point where he was miles ahead of everybody. He was absolutely my ultimate Habs follow. And I feel like I've lost some of the best insight because he's no longer doing what he used to do. It's not like somebody stepped into his spot, you know what I mean? I think Brian Wilde came the closest.
Yeah, you're right, he's not purely a local guy anymore. He's, you know, a couple years from now, he'll probably be, like, on the panel on Sportsnet or working for NBC or ESPN or something. Like, he's that good.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic, and I think he just almost outgrew this list because, you know, he used to have his, after every game, he'd have his posts and whatnot, and they were must-read. That was the first spot I go to. And now it's like, yeah, it's Melnick's blog and Wild's blog. Those are the two spots outside of my own opinion and the recency bias, which is the only place you need to go. But he was number one. There was zero doubt in my mind that he was the must-Habs follow 2-3-4 years ago. But I think he's been the editor for LNash.com for a couple years now. So his opinion's not as much out there because he does work for the NHL, so he's got to put a bit of a cap on things. And also, he's just not as involved.
Not for nothing, but, you know, as much crap as we give the NHL, they hire some really good guys on NHL.com.
They do, yeah. That's one of the places that does a good job.
Like, funny guys and, like, good writers, and, like, their content's pretty good.
No, that's, the NHL. Gets one piece of, does one thing well. Good job, guys. It's not like they had their much less fun, less interesting, less covered draft the night after the NBA draft. That's on a Friday night, no less. Good way to go, guys. Obviously, top minds putting that schedule together, because we all know you can't possibly draft young NHL players at, say, mid-July when the sports world is bored as hell and would actually talk about you. No, do it right after the most interesting day on the sports schedule, the NBA draft.
The most interesting day on the sports schedule?
It was this year.
Okay.
Was it not? What, as far as, like, compelling news and narratives and everything out there? There were huge names on the move. Name another day where there was more things happening than in the lead up and the day of the NBA draft this year.
You might be right. Honestly, I've kind of tuned out the NBA to the point where I'm not qualified to comment on that.
Like, the NFL's obviously a monster in comparison even to the NBA, but moves don't happen. Like, the things don't move around in the NFL the way that they do in the NBA.
Yeah, that's fair.
In the NHL, they sure as shit don't. So that leaves us baseball. And once again, it's not like the NBA draft day. Like, a lot happens around that with big names that change teams, because it's the NBA. One guy moves and suddenly everything changes.
Well, hell, I mean, if you want to give a league crap for its draft, the NHL, maybe the timing could have been better. Baseball does theirs in the middle of the season on a Wednesday.
It also does not matter. It's a crapshoot. There should be no draft. Let's save all the money on scouting. Everybody who's of interest, their name goes in a hat. There's some sort of board that decides that. And you just get assigned to teams. Because who cares?
I think that's less true than it used to be.
Yeah, anyway. It is becoming less true. Anyways, because this draft's not long enough, we don't need a baseball talk.
Don't we, though?
We kind of do. It's what makes us us. And, yeah, we're not even at the hour mark, everybody. Calm down. here we go. Fast rising star. I believe he's still managing editor or whatever at Eyes on the Prize, but obviously he did some work for a couple of Montreal publications, frequently jumps on TSN 690 in Montreal. I'm taking the number six spot, Marc Dumont.
Yeah, if you want the sort of playbook about how someone can go from being, you know, a really good blogger to entrenching themselves in the local media to being sort of indispensable, like that's kind of he's kind of done it sort of systematically step by step, and he's done a really good job of it.
And not that this is a knock on anyone else later in the list, but he talks about advanced stats in a way that AI can understand, in a way that makes sense, and in a way when you disagree with him, he's not a complete dick about.
That is refreshing.
I'm just reading from my scouts here. I don't know any of this. This is just what my scouting report says. They really highlighted not a complete dick about it. All right, you're in the seventh spot.
In the seventh spot, I know he rubs some people the wrong way. I'm fine with him. I like him. Stu Cohen of the Montreal Gazette.
That's a high pick, I gotta say. Although, nobody had any ink on their fingers till right now. This is your newspaper guy.
Yeah, he's my beat reporter.
There you go.
He says print is dead.
Everybody.
Not me.
Well, I do. Because I used to work in it. No, that's a good pick. I don't know that I would have necessarily gone with Stu in that spot, but he doesn't rub me the wrong way the way he does some people.
Yeah, I think he's fine. I think he's a good writer. I think he gets good scoops. I think he's likable enough. I like him on Twitter.
He's a good beat guy.
I don't understand the blowback that he gets sometimes, but hey.
I don't know that I've even seen much of it. What's it come from?
I'm not entirely sure. Maybe I'm just misremembering a couple of isolated incidents. Maybe it's not this widespread thing that I've made it out to be in my mind, but.
Fair enough. All right, I'm at the number eight spot. Uh-oh. Trade just in, Sean. Have you heard this?
Oh, no.
I have traded down with you, which is weird that you haven't heard it.
You delegate these matters to my assistant GM.
I trade the number eight pick to you in exchange for your number 11 pick. Is that true? Something like that.
Something like that.
For a later pick. You'll know when we get to it, I go back to
play your name later.
Sure.
So with the number eight pick in the first round, speaking of divisive, I'm going to go with Connor McKenna.
Oof. I'm glad I traded down.
Some people are not.
I'm going to disagree with you taking him there like you're an idiot and you've hurt my feelings personally. That's what I call the Connor McKenna approach to disagreeing with you. At number eight? Number eight?
Listen, Team PK has to stick together, all right?
Okay.
And if there is one Montreal scribe who has been on the right side of history for the past 361 days, it has been Connor McKenna.
Okay, that's fair. Team PK gets one. I don't completely dislike McKenna. I just find sometimes when I'm listening in the morning, it's a lot of high horsing. He very much believes in his opinions.
Yes, I would agree with that.
And is a little shocked and offended if you don't agree. So yeah, I would not have grabbed McKenna yet.
Well, you web rights wouldn't get it.
I'm just glad because here I'm going to endear myself to the listeners, even though they'll hate us for including like three members of the French media. But like we said, these are the ones who kind of have a footprint over on our side of things. I'm glad I swapped out that pick in which I didn't necessarily know who I wanted there. Felt like you might reach for an individual I didn't want, which is what happened. I played you like a fiddle. And now I'm going back to back, and I'm going to do it like the Sedins.
Yeah, you did the Belichick thing. It's smart, man. Trading down is smart.
I know. I'm taking two members of the French media, Renaud Lavoie and François Gagnon. Boom. Now I got that.
And I am a little upset you got Gagnon because I did want him.
You could have had him at the eighth spot.
I know.
You wanted fiery takes. I get that. I see what you're drafting for. I'm sorry. We just celebrated Saint-Jean this past weekend. I guess I'm more of a Quebecer than you. I want a couple French guys. But maybe that's me. Maybe that's not something you prioritize.
They're both really good, and I think we slant towards the English media just because that's the language that we speak. But Lavoie's really, I mean, they're both really, really good. But Lavoie, you could make the argument that he should have been like number three or four on this list.
Also, where else are you going to get your all caps waiver wires if you don't have Lavoie? You're going to be reading non caps waiver wires like an idiot, Sean.
I feel even despite the language barrier that if there's one guy that people in like New York and New Jersey and Philly and Nashville and San Jose follow for Habs news, it's probably Renaud Lavoie.
That's true. Yeah. And Gagnon, look, I had to, top 10, thank God we got him in there, because nobody would be more upset that a French-speaking individual did not go in our top 10 than François. So, and the beautiful, but that's why I love François Gagnon. That's why I want to hear, because I don't think, for the most part, I agree with what he says, or not for the most part agree with what he says. For the most part, I can understand where he's coming from. He doesn't say things that I think are absolutely absurd, and he reminds me of that very significant faction of the fan base and how they think. And I do like to hear that because I think it's fair to hear. Rarely do I necessarily agree with it, especially when it gets deep into the, where are the Quebecers? But François seems like a good guy. I just don't always agree with him. But I'm glad I've got him on my team. Glad I went back to back there.
That's a good pick.
All right. You're back on the clock at the 11. It's been a while since we heard
you. The 11th pick, someone I wasn't, to be perfectly honest with, someone I wasn't super familiar with until the past 6 months or so.
Yeah.
But she seems to know her shit. She was on the Puck Soup podcast, and she was pretty funny and likable. Amanda Steyn.
Nice. So I've got the all caps waiver wires, but now you get the beautifully handwritten player lineups.
Yeah, so we're even.
Shh. You went for aesthetics. I went for caps. Kind of a Kanye pick on my part. Steyn's another fast rider. You did raise a good point after she was on Puck Soup that we can't place her accent even though she's Montreal born and raised.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, Amanda, fill us in.
Maybe that's just how you talk, and that's fine, but we were just wondering. Just put that out there. All right, on to the number 12 spot. Look, he's probably one of the bigger names and biggest name maybe in online besides Wild online Habs circles, and he certainly lifted eyes on the prize to a legitimate spot. He was probably the first person I was following for really good and informative advanced stats pertaining to the Habs in particular. But this is the highest horse of all, and so I'm going to have to raise the door in our team office just to let him in. The 12th spot, I'm going to take Andrew Berkshire.
I'll say this. I think he's really smart.
Absolutely. He's been on this podcast.
What's that?
We've had him on the podcast. It was a great conversation. He was very kind to us. He's never said anything evil about us, probably because we haven't even come across his landscape as of yet, and that's fine. Yeah, he's smart, and he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, and I've never met the guy, so he could be a really great guy. I don't love the way he comes across on Twitter sometimes, but
no, we hate the way he comes across on Twitter.
I think he really knows his shit.
Here's what we always say about him. Let's be honest. Yes. I agree with like 99% of what he says, maybe 95. But he's, even when I'm 100% on board with what he's saying, the way he says it to people and the way he delivers his back and forth, I don't want to be on his side.
Yeah.
And that's, like you say, he might be the single conversation we had with him on this podcast and the email exchange we had leading up to it. He was extremely gracious, extremely nice. He might be really nice in real life. And, just when he's probably had a ton of shit come his way. Because he was one of the early advanced stats guys. And so on Twitter, you probably get a little more defensive and a little more harsh. But he's risen. He's really put himself in a strong position now. I think he's probably got a lengthy future within this. When most people are either agreeing with you or want to be on your side, and you are now in the media, it's not my preference if you sound like a dick. That's just my hot take.
That is fair. That is very fair.
So there you go. Ups and ups, so a lot of upside, but some downside on that last draft pick.
Some character concerns in the locker room? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm hearing. Yeah, that's... Oh, my God. He's peaky. He's exactly who he wants to be. It couldn't have gone better. We probably took him too late because of that. The talent's there. All right, into 13.
Number 13, also a legitimate free agent, unfortunately. Sean Coleman.
Yeah, somebody...
He's also part of the great Bell Media... Night of the Long Knives.
As much as I would like to extend the invitation to join us and maybe get your hands on some sweet denim, Sean, I can't do that because when we started the podcast, there was a strict one Sean only rule. We've made the exception for guests, and even that was those were rocky times. When we had Down Goes Brown on, you didn't want to, and I said, Sean, this is a major individual. We absolutely need to get him on. And you finally acquiesced there, but I can't imagine bringing another Sean into the fold.
No, I think you know my feelings on this.
Yeah, no, they've been illustrated in threatening detail in front of me before. So,
well, there can only be one.
It's what you screamed as you shattered my windshield. Moving on, 14th spot, and she would have gone higher probably a year or two ago. But Robin Flynn has really dedicated herself to Le Canadien now, and good for her on that front. That's her beat. And she's rocking it, and she's rising in that world. But there's just not as much Canadian content from Robin Flynn these days. Still love her spots. Still love what she does. But yeah, she just fell in the order, I think, simply because she's not covering the Habs quite as close as she once did. But, I mean, she's still got the Habs tattoo, so dedication there. I'm going to take Flynn in the 14.
And I'm going to follow that up with number 15, Heather Engel.
Yes. This was one who I, for some reason, did not have on my radar till this season. And probably if we do the draft next season, would have gone higher. But I'm just kind of new to Heather Engel. I know she's been doing it for a while, but, you know, you can't know everybody.
Fair.
I'm going to blame the scouting. Because I was looking through, as we were going through this today, I was like, what's her history? And I was like, ah, shit, I should follow Heather closely. She knows what she's talking about.
He does, and I said that much more awkwardly than I meant, although it was kind of funny. But, I mean, it is nice to see him. You know, there's what, I guess three women, I suppose, on the list right now. But listen, that's three more. Let's be honest, that's three more than there would have been 10 years ago, maybe even five.
5 years ago? 3 years ago?
Yeah.
A lot of work to be done, obviously.
A lot of work to be done, but, once we do this... once we bring back this incredibly popular bit in 5 years.
Annual. This is annual. People want to see the heat charts.
All right. Well, if it's annual, hopefully by next year it's five, and hopefully in 2 years' time it's 10 or something like that.
Fair deal. I agree. 16. I'm loading up on the Frenchies now. I'm just trying to get you off the hook for that last bit.
I appreciate it.
I'm going to take Martin Lemay, who I often don't agree with, but I've had friends like Martin, and they're just fun to argue with. You're never going to agree, and things get really heated, and I'm mostly I know there's plenty of them. I was going to name some people, but it's pretty much a lot of my friends who I've disagreed with and screamed at over hockey in the years. So you might pull your hair out, not able to understand where they're coming from. But you know it's kind of like it still happens in a way that's borderline enjoyable, as opposed to the people who you just like dismiss as a complete idiot and walk away from.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I rarely agree with Martin Lemay, I think, but I still very much like him, and he's good. He's like the opposite of Berkshire.
With the number 17 pick, I'm taking an old man. We're just going to offend every group.
Good call, good call.
Pat Hickey of the Montreal Gazette.
Yeah. I mean,
a Montreal institution of
exactly.
Of sorts.
Very low for an institution, but it's the newspaper, and I don't know. I don't see much from him.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember the last time I picked up a copy of the Gazette, if I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
But I read it when I was a kid, and I liked him.
I've seen some things Pat Hickey's done, in the Gazette recently. It's not like you read them and are like, what the hell is he talking about? He's lost it.
It's more than we can say about some people in that
fair
newspaper.
Yeah, exactly. And also in that vein, I do enjoy the hits that he does on TSN 690 time to time. It is like bringing in Grandpa to talk about, A, the old days, and sometimes you just like that rough, newspapery, old-school voice to talk about hockey. It's nice.
Yeah. Even, I mean, the other thing I appreciate about him is I feel like a lot of writers, a lot of entrenched sports columnists in towns that have their one daily or their two dailies or whatever are just, you know, just complete hot take artists.
Yes, and he is not.
He is not that guy at all, really.
No, not in the slightest. He reminds me of my, you know, it's a breed that no longer exists, and that's fine. Things can have their time and things can have their place. But I do have a strong affection for and still hold almost in a, you know, in a higher esteem simply because it is of days gone by. But I still love the old classic sports writer, and everything about him is that. He's just your old classic columnist. And yeah, he's late on this list because the time of those guys has come past. But I still want to have I want to hear what Pat Hickey has to say. I'm not past the time where, like when I am with, you know, somebody who's way past their prime, like Don Cherry, where I don't give a shit. I'm still interested in when Pat Hickey jumps on the mic on TSN.
Yeah.
All right, 18th spot, because I want you to be in so much shit. Good luck running this media team back in Quebec. I'm going to take one more francophone, JF Chimon. And with that, we can move on to 19, because that's all I have on JF.
19, another relic of the print era, Dave Stubbs.
Yeah. I mean, Stubbs is in the perfect job for him now. Like, NHL historian.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And I like that he still does the Habs thing, and he's a great follow now that, I don't know, now that he's not talking to the Canadians on a day-to-day basis, he's actually better. Like, he's perfect for, you know, being the museum, the curator of the Twitter museum for the Canadians. He talks about the old guys on the appropriate days. His stories are, once again, you know, like Hickey, like sitting around with the old guys and hearing the stories from the old days. So love him in that respect. But when he was, you know, best friends with Max Pacioretty and upping the guys a little bit too much, you felt like he was a mascot more than, you know, what he is in his role now, which is his perfect fit.
Yeah, I mean, you think of how much hockey he has seen and what he's able to contribute to the discussion that way. It's really something else.
I would love to be able to sit down with Dave Stubbs and just talk.
Yeah.
If we were drafting that list, he's very high.
Yeah.
Actually, that's the next podcast. Just reshuffle this. So Stubbs at 19. All right, so we're into the final spot, and we've got... I love this. Here's who's left.
Yeah.
Jack Todd, Montreal Gazette.
Yeah.
We've got Tony Marinaro, TSN 690.
Yeah.
And also TSN 690 and former Montreal Canadian Chris Knuckles Nyland.
Yeah. So that's who's left. It was tempting to turn this into like a hit piece, you know, Deadspin just ripping everyone type piece. I think we mostly avoided that.
Yeah. I mean, I had my targets.
But those are the three that are left. There might be a reason for that.
So the final pick, I'm taking Knuckles.
Sure.
He's a former Hab. He was his story in The Last Gladiator. That movie's fantastic. I really enjoyed when Knuckles used to come on with Melnick. Much in the way I like Spaceman on with Melnick. And much in the same way, I don't know that Bill Lee needs a full radio show on a daily basis. I don't know that Knuckles does either.
No, I'm not sure he does either, but I feel at least with him, there's a little bit of winking at the camera going on with him.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And he's a character that I like, unlike Tony Marinaro's character, which is Marinaro represents everything I hate about sports radio. So, then even when I do agree with him, I feel gross about it at this point. I don't know how much he ever believes in any take he has. You know, he's another one of these guys where you're like, this is all fucking show. What do I care?
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's
found the dogs. Shut up.
He's perfected his bit, and that's fine. I guess some people like that. It's not my thing.
No, and it works for some people and good for him, but I don't need it, and I'm not drafting him for that reason.
Which leaves us with one person.
What are you saying? That's a segue of going undrafted for a second time in his career? Jack Todd.
Jack Todd.
So he's blocked. Wait, I don't think he's blocked me. I think he's blocked the Montreal Bias.
Has he?
Yeah. Have you been blocked by him? I'm just checking.
No, I've been blocked by Damian Cox. But well, who's essentially Toronto Jack Todd, but I've not been blocked by Montreal Jack Todd.
Like, I think Jack Todd's worst moment of the year so far was when PK was suddenly having success with the Predators, and suddenly he was like, I never said PK was a bad player. I was like, Jesus Christ, you just did for 10 years. Let's not pretend you didn't, buddy.
No, yeah, but Zach, he marched in civil rights marches.
He did march in civil rights marches. Friends died face down in the muck in Vietnam. Well, not actually.
So let's not question his hockey judgment, okay?
Yeah, he's got, you know, all the bad things we said about the individuals on this list? Pick those out and you can apply them to Todd. They all apply. And he wears sunglasses in his fucking Twitter avatar like a real dick.
Listen, every market's got one at least. Some markets have more than one. It's just, again, maybe it's a bit and maybe he's just a
wrestling. I don't think it is a bit with him, though.
No, I think he buys his own bullshit. I don't think it is a bit. I think Marinero is just kind of playing a character.
Yeah, he is.
I think Jack Todd is very, very satisfied with the positions that he's staked out and the persona that he's staked out.
No, Marinero heard, you know, Boston sports radio, New York sports radio, and saw something that he thought could work in Montreal, and it did.
It did. He was right.
No, and he rose really quickly amongst those ranks, and good for him. For him, not for the rest of us. But yeah, so those are a shot. Wow, that's too bad. I wish they'd made the draft board. Well, they made the board. They didn't get drafted. So free agents, anyone can have those too.
I mean, worked out well for Tim Thomas and Marty St. Louis.
Yeah, which one of these? Yeah, so Jack Todd's the Tim Thomas?
Sure. Opposite sides of the spectrum, I think. But
at least an American, who I think is relatively crazy. And then Tony Marinero's a semi-French Quebecer. So Marty St. Louis. There you go. That's the list. Good luck, boys. Think we hurt anybody's feelings?
If they were listening, probably. But so, I have a sneaking suspicion that they don't.
We'll have to at them with this, then, if we're going to hurt anybody's feelings.
Let them know. Which really was the goal, let's be honest.
Oh, come on. Somebody needs to... Well, we shouldn't say it. Someone needs to take this bait and be upset about how we went about them and give us some publicity.
Or just be wildly overjoyed that they got drafted in the top, like, five or something.
Did you say wildly overjoyed? All right, that'll do it. That's the draft you've all been waiting for. Whew, they're going to be thrilled when they get this, Sean.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Enjoy it. Maybe, as we said, hopefully you saved it for July 1 when things are dull.
Yeah, when it's 4:15 in the afternoon and no one's signed yet, and the panel's going over possible Kevin Shattenkirk landing spots for the 17th time, just put it on mute for a bit, listen to us, and then you know you'll still see the breaking news thing flash up on the screen when Justin Williams signs for 3 years, $21 million or whatever it is.
I think that should be our prognostication of the week. That's good. That's going to happen.
Do you want Justin Williams?
Fuck Justin Williams.
Haven't gotten over that high stick yet, eh?
And his refusal to come here. No, had he come after, I would have been fine. But we offered him more money, and he went to Washington. So that plus the high stick, that equals F-U-J-W.
He's a player I can never make up my mind on.
If I could talk myself into him being signed to us.
I could, too. I could talk myself into him in a heartbeat, because he brings a lot to the table. But he is the type of guy who's going to probably get paid a bit more than he's worth.
I think we've said that about him every time he signed, though. And he's kind of, I don't know, maybe he is. That's just what he is. But he's getting older.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he really pushed Washington over that hump. He got past the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's what you want Williams for. Although we're going to need someone to get us past the Maple Leafs going forward, so...
Kidding.
God damn.
real quick before we, I know we're well over the hour mark at this point, but fuck it, it's summer.
They're still watching Nothing Happen on TSN right now.
Hall of Fame.
We should be in it. Podcast
in the
Hall of
category?
Fame. The Builders, yes, exactly.
Builders of great podcasts?
I like this class. Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Then yeah, good talk.
No one's saying no to Slaney.
No.
Korea, as far as I'm concerned, is not a slam dunk, maybe not like an absolute first ballot Hall of Famer, but he belongs in there.
Hey, look, what's that?
One of the five. At his peak, he was one of the five best players.
Yeah, and like I don't know, I still enjoy the test of when you say their name, Hall of Famer. Does it sound weird? And I would say Paul Kariya, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Plus, when you give us once again, sometimes moments are bigger than careers, and that moment was awesome.
The concussion goal.
The concussion goal.
Yeah, it was.
It sums up. It sums up that era of hockey for so many reasons. A, he's in that shitty fucking Ducks uniform. He's Paul Kariya. He gets a concussion. We all think he's dead. Then he comes back and he's a hero, and he actually is a hero. And now we worry about his brain forever. It is that era of hockey.
I know.
It's progress.
But I still get chills thinking about that. Like, that was incredible.
Well, the good news is you get to think about it. Paul Kariya can't. I'm good with Kariya. And also, for Kariya and Solani to go in together, that's sweet.
Yeah, that is awesome. So, you've got Kariya on one end of the spectrum who didn't have longevity but was a dominant player for a stretch there. And then the two other guys, Mark Recchi and Andrew Cech, were sort of the opposite of that. If it was up to me, neither of them would be in, but they're in, so good for them.
I'll allow for Andrew Cech, but Recchi, what the hell? And he was a longtime Hab.
Yeah.
Gives us one more, I guess.
Suck I mean, Andrew Toronto. Cech, I guess you could say Andrew Cech, just the sheer numbers you have to put him in.
Do you?
I don't think so, but I mean, that's the argument, right? But were either of those guys ever considered even top 10 players in the league?
No, but there was a time when Recchi was a top 10 player and a number one physician. So, that's got to count for something.
I love that one comment, we all essentially forget that he played for the Habs. Like, we all fucking
knew. It was all over at that point. Fuck you, Mark Recchi, forever. I don't even remember what he said. Just that I turned on him, and now I call him Dr. Recchi, and that's fun. You think they'll put PhD after his name on the Hall of Fame plaque? Does he just go on in with a stethoscope around his neck? I got a bunch more if you want to keep going.
Keep going. This is gold, Jerry.
It's fine. We can stop. I'm with you. We agree on this. Like, I don't. It takes a hell of a lengthy career that is. I can't even think of anybody whose career longevity and achievements outweigh the fact that they were mediocre to, or an all-star here and there, but that's all throughout their whole career. You're like, you better play 30 years. It better blow my mind.
Yeah. I mean, he does have the three cups. I guess that helps, but I don't know. Like I said, I could look this up. Did he ever receive a vote for an award?
That's a good question.
Or like a top 10 vote? Like, I'm sure he got some 15th place finishes or something. But
yeah, PK Subban can't even get that in the Norris. So. You tell me, buddy. You tell me. I would have only gone the two Ducks. And then everybody at the ceremony could have done the quack. Quack, it would have been beautiful. I mean, they could still do that, but, the old long-time hangarounds are going to ruin it.
Anyway, that'll do us for this one-off summer edition. We'll probably do more, like we did last summer. We did the Tragically Hip one. And we still got July 1st. Maybe something big will happen. Maybe the Canadians a big splash and we'll acquire something. We'll see, though. We'll be back at some point on your summer schedule for sure. For Sean and myself, thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter. And enjoy your summer until we see you next. And also, obviously, read rabbithabs.com. Who makes this podcast happen? Bye.